Congratulations, as I mentioned, on being a finalist for the Career Achievement Medal. Some of the things that you've done on PTSD are just tremendous, and we've got a full rundown at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What turned the focus of your work toward PTSD originally?
It was a complete accident. My background was in drug abuse, and when I finished my residency at Dartmouth Medical School, I had already decided that whatever else I did in my life, I wanted to live in this part of the world, and so I got a job at the VA hospital. And this was 1973. The Vietnam War was winding down, and from what I could gather, I assumed that so many of these Vietnam vets would be having addiction problems, alcoholism, heroin, whatever. So, and I was thinking of a methadone maintenance or some other substance abuse approach. And so I started actively seeking them out and talking to them. And what I found was that it had very, very little, if anything, to do with substance abuse, alcoholism. It had to do something much more profound that I didn't completely or even begin to understand at the very beginning, but I was so moved by the level of their distress and the fact that it really didn't conform to the usual kind of psychiatric problems. They were very, very depressed, but it wasn't depression. There were some having flashbacks and being suspicious, but it wasn't schizophrenia. We just didn't know what to call it. And I started reading about war stress and things of this sort. I also fell in love with a woman who'd been a MASH nurse near the Cambodian border at the Third Surgical Hospital at about the same time, and we had that to share. So I really kind of got into this by accident, but I was hooked very, very quickly, and I've been hooked ever since.
What was the common perception at that time as far as what might be causing the symptoms that of what we now know as PTSD?
You know, I don't even think people were thinking in terms of causality. This was the early 70s. People were thinking of deer hunter, you know, veterans that were somehow they had a screw loose. They were dangerous. And at that time, you know, there was a literature, not an official diagnosis by any stretch of the imagination, but there were a number of syndromes that were out there that were all called by the thing that had caused them. So there was prisoner of war syndrome. There was post Vietnam syndrome. There was battered wife syndrome. There was rape trauma syndrome. So people were sort of thinking, well, exposure to these different adverse events caused something, and no one really understood what it was. It wasn't until the late 70s, you know, 5-6 years after I was working all by myself up here in Vermont, that the American Psychiatric Association was putting together its third iteration of the Diagnostic Classification Scheme, the DSM-3, and it was at that time that people who've been working with Holocaust survivors, war veterans, domestic violence victims, et cetera, got and said, hey, you know, what we're seeing in our separate clinics looks very much the same. And the brilliance of that group, and I wasn't part of that group, so I can say this, was that they recognized the commonality of the post-traumatic reactions, the traumatic nightmares, the avoidance symptoms, the hypervigilance, et cetera. And so PTSD became an official diagnosis in 1980, and it emphasized the reaction, the symptom constellation, rather than the different traumatic types of events that might lead to this symptom constellation.
Is it fair to say that until that time it had been considered kind of a psychological flaw in the subject and not so much a result of the circumstances under which that subject had found him or herself?
In some cases, it had. Certainly to people who were I mean, one of the dominant approaches in psychiatry at that time was the psychoanalytic approach, which was actually revised dramatically in the DSM-3. So people assumed that it's sort of a tautology, a false reasoning, that if you became dysfunctional in a combat situation, there must have been something wrong with you in the first place. And what PTSD basically did in the early days was it said, no, everyone has a breaking point, and if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and your capacity to cope with this situation is overwhelmed, then you might develop PTSD. So it destigmatized the disorder, and it really opened up a very exciting and important new area for treatment, for research. It's changed a lot of our theory in psychiatry and behavioral health and even in public health.